take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. We will start the hour with a couple of headlines you need to know. We'll start with the sad one. Minnesota's Timberwolves star, Karl Anthony Towns, we played a little of it earlier, has become the latest public face in the fight against the coronavirus, revealing in an emotional video late Tuesday night that his mother has been hospitalized for the past week, dealing with health complications from what is believed to be COVID-19. It has been reported to our sources that it is that she's been diagnosed with COVID-19. Towns has said his mother is in a medically induced coma, had to be put on a ventilator. We'll keep you updated as we get more information there. In the NFL, a couple of pieces of news you need to know. Number one, we have a signing at this point for the NFL as the Vikings have addressed their wide receiver position, at least attempt to continue to address their wide receiver position, bringing in Tajay Sharp, former Titan, 4 years with Tennessee. He now heads to Minnesota on a one-year deal. Also, NFL does not agree with GMs. GMs across the league are starting to discuss the possibility of wanting the draft pushed back in April. The NFL says it will stick with their plan despite a recommendation from the league's general manager subcommittee to Commissioner Roger Goodell. General managers are concerned that in this current environment with off-season activities canceled and some team facilities closed, there's not enough time for physicals, gathering psychological testing, getting further verified information about the players, and some teams having to conduct the draft from home. The NFL says, we don't care! It's going to happen anyway. So we'll keep you updated on that also as we get more information on it. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're also on ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you can hang out with us on the Shell Benz Oil Performance Line. Where is Cam Newton headed and why? That's what I want you to tell me. Not just where, also tell me why. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Frankly, y'all have been so great with the calls, I'm starting to be convinced he's headed to the Broncos. Multiple callers today supporting the Broncos. I want your take on it. Where's he going to go? And we'll get your thoughts on it. We're also going to continue with some Straight Talk, Straight Talk Wireless. And that Straight Talk came from Damian Woody, Stephen A., and Max today as they tried to decide where Cam Newton will be next year.
My attitude is I think it should be the Chargers. If you're Cam Newton, go to California. Play for Anthony Lynn. The fact that you're succeeding Phillip Rivers, who was clearly an immobile quarterback, I often use the joke he was slower than a snail with arthritis, and snails don't get arthritis. The fact of the matter is though, even though Phillip Rivers could fling that football, he did throw for over 4,600 yards last year. He did throw for 23 touchdowns. He did complete 66% of his passes. He just threw 20 interceptions in the process. I like Phillip Rivers a lot, and I think he can still play, can still throw the football, but there definitely is some slippage there. And the thing about it is in the modern day game, you got to be mobile, and he has no mobility whatsoever. You either got to be mobile or you got to get the ball out of your hands inside of 2 seconds like Tom Brady does. That's not something that Phillip Rivers is known to do, so I think that's a problem. If you're succeeding that, by the way, Phillip Rivers has never gone to a Super Bowl. So if you're Cam Newton, who has gone to a Super Bowl, and that's what you're succeeding, you got an opportunity to make noise in L.A. for the Chargers. If you were to go to New England, for example, which is another possibility, you're succeeding Tom Brady. You're succeeding a six-time Super Bowl champion who's been at the Super Bowl 9 times, who's won 17 division titles in 8 years. There's nowhere to go but down. If you are Cam Newton in New England, I don't like that at all. I think the best spot for him to do is to go to Los Angeles to play for the Chargers.
I'd love to see him in New England, but I don't think Belichick wants him. He hasn't made a play for him. And the Chargers, the reason Cam Newton was released is they try to trade him to the Chargers. If the Chargers aren't going to give you a seventh round pick for him because they like Tyrod Taylor more than him, I don't see him going to the Chargers. I look at Washington, because whatever you want to say about Cam, and even like Tepper comes in Carolina, gets rid of Ron Rivera, successful head coach. But he's like, yeah, the Ron Rivera-Cam Newton pairing, that's good. I want to try to be great. My hat's off to Tepper for that. But they were good. Ask Washington over the last, you know, over Cam's career. Would Washington have traded their fortunes for the fortunes of the Carolina Panthers? I would think so. And what are the fortunes of a team, really? The most important two people and relationship, the head coach and the quarterback. He also has his quarterback's coach there now in Carolina. I know they signed Kyle Allen, and if they really do like Haskins, okay, although Haskins is not Ron Rivera's guy. So maybe you just put the band together, back together in Washington. If you have Ron Rivera and Cam Newton with Kyle Allen backing them up, and you make a team like the one in Carolina, Washington fans would be happy. You get to a Super Bowl, you make a playoff run every now and then, you're in the mix for the playoffs every year if Cam Newton is most of what he used to be. That's an enormous improvement from where they've been in recent years.
Well, listen, I think the Washington Redskins have no interest in Cam Newton. Listen, I think the sign was they trade a fifth-round pick for Kyle Allen from Carolina. That should tell you all you need to know about the direction that the Washington Redskins are going. Listen, I agree with Stephen A. on this one. I think the Los Angeles Chargers, to me, makes way too much sense. Listen, remember in 2018, the Los Angeles Chargers were 12-4. They were 12-4. It's not like this team was far off, you know, from being a good team. They were a good team back in 2018. The weapons that they have in Los Angeles with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, Austin Eckler, they got a better supporting cast than the year that Cam Newton won MVP back in 2015. You plug Cam Newton into that offense, and all of this is contingent on Cam Newton being healthy. You plug him into that offense, being the dynamic playmaker that he is at the quarterback position. Because like Stephen A. said, in this era of the National Football League, you have to be mobile to a certain degree. And one thing we know about Cam Newton is still one of the ultimate weapons at the quarterback position when he's healthy. And the Los Angeles Chargers, you're moving into a new stadium. Well, what better buzz can you create moving to a new stadium by bringing in a former league MVP and Cam Newton?
I don't think they want him. Why didn't they trade for him? They didn't have to give much anything up, really. Look, he was released. If they wanted him, they would have traded for him. I think they've determined that Tyrod Taylor's a better option at this point. I don't know. Look, Cam Newton, I agree with you, Damian. They must be terrified of physically of where he is right now. And, of course, because of coronavirus, it's not like guys can work out and really prove it to teams. But I'm baffled by it, but were I one of these teams, I'd take a chance on Cam Newton. The reason I think Washington's more likely to, they traded for Kyle Allen. Well, you can kind of recreate what you had in Carolina quickly in Washington. And that gets them to a place where they haven't been in a long time. Going from Phillip Rivers to Cam Newton, in a way, although Phillip Rivers is not as good as Tom Brady and Cam Newton's much better than Jameis Winston, is sort of doing that in reverse. You're going from a very different style pocket passing quarterback who's precise and you know to more of a like risk taking kind of quarterback, but in this case you would think to be upgrading, and yet they're not interested. If they were interested, they'd have done it already.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I think that's an oversimplification. I mean, it's the health complications here are massive. The fact is they can't get a medical evaluation of what's going on. And the other side of it is if you trade for a player, you trade for the contract. If you believe that he's going to hit the open market, what says that you don't think from a business standpoint, A, you want to check him out medically, and then B, importantly, you want to lock him into a deal that gives you sort of some financial flexibility and a couple of years to see what you have. I mean, we have no idea what the business or the medical ramifications are for this, but to say simply that there was no trade for him or no immediate signing of him is an indication that he's not going to be pursued by some of these teams absolutely makes no sense for me. It's First Take, Your Take. That's some Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. It's just not as simple as we always want to make it in these situations. It's just not that easy in my mind. We're going to keep taking your take, obviously, as we want you to tell us where Cam's going and why. You can also tell us where he's not going. We've been getting a lot of votes in that, so we'll keep doing that. But in the meantime, they're doing a fun series on First Take every day. They're calling it QB Continued. See what we did there? QB Continued. Today's QB Continued on First Take took a deep dive look at the quarterback we can't stop talking about, Dak Prescott, and all things Cowboys. So Stephen A., Damian Woody, and Max broke down QB Continued, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott is being undervalued for one reason and one reason only. It's not a long-term deal. It's not even about the money to me. All right, 31, 33, 35. The reason I have a problem with the Cowboys is because I personally believe that if this were Tony Romo under the same circumstances, he'd have had a deal. Period. 4 years, not missed a single game. Back news, page story when the man missed a practice. And we got to take into account what we're asking of quarterbacks in the modern era. It's not just about you flinging the football. It's also about the fact that you are a leader. You're accountable. You're reliable. And you are an extension of ownership. And we all know what Dak Prescott has meant to the Dallas Cowboys over the last few years, not just on the field, but off the field in regards to Kaepernick, in regards to Ezekiel Elliott, because he didn't create problems that Ezekiel Elliott presented to you. There's a whole bunch of stuff that comes into it, not to mention the fact that you just acknowledged, Max, the trajectory is going upwards. He's only 26 years of age. You see all of that. If this were Tony Romo, Stephen Jones, and Jerry Jones, my buddy, still my buddy, but if it was Tony Romo, they'd have had a deal done. That's my issue with the Dallas Cowboys in terms of franchise tagging them. I don't give a damn how much money you pay him. As long as you're committed to just 1 year, you are messing him over. He deserves a long-term deal, and I'm not going to be satisfied until I see him get it.
Well, listen, Stephen, I agree that Dak deserves a long-term deal. Everything that the Cowboys have asked of Dak Prescott, he's done. I think, but I'm going to take the over simply because when you look at Dak Prescott, he comes in, fourth round draft pick. The Dallas Cowboys have done everything imaginable, okay, to help Dak Prescott in his development. Okay, they've added offensive line. They got the running back. They traded for a number one wide receiver in Amari Cooper. And this past year, he had his best statistical year in his whole career. But the problem is, Stephen A., he only won one game against a winning opponent. One game. Okay, to me, when I look at quarterbacks, if I'm paying a quarterback the type of money that we're talking about, the Russell Wilson type money, because I believe that's the type of money he's asking for, and he should be asking for, because he's trying to reset the market. When are you going to see him elevate the team? And I think that's what the Cowboys has some reservation about, giving him a long-term deal, because they don't view him in that manner as a Russell Wilson or, well, you know, quarterbacks of that caliber. When I see Dak Prescott really elevate the Dallas Cowboys, put them on his shoulders, then I think, to me, that's why I think it's over right now. Now, Stephen A., let me say one other thing. I think another thing that's baked into this is coaching as well. I want to see Dak Prescott with Mike McCarthy, because I think we all can agree that Mike McCarthy is a better coach than Jason Garrett. So I want to see what he looks like with a Super Bowl winning head coach.
But that's where the hole in your argument comes from, Damian, because you never mentioned that previously. You said that they gave him everything. They didn't give him everything. They gave him a coach that was subpar at best, as far as I'm concerned. And not only that, you gave him a rookie offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. So I'm saying to you, you didn't give him everything that he needed. A matter of fact, the most important thing, people who are calling the plays and people who are his bosses, you didn't have the right people in place for him. You might have it now in McCarthy, but you didn't have that.
That's why the franchise tag, Stephen A. That's why. The Cowboys, Damian, you're 100% right. How much more do you need? And you can't make the playoffs in the worst division ever, right? With an Eagles team that was struggling because they were terrible. Carson Wentz looked good-ish against the worst teams in the world toward the end of the season. You can't make the playoffs under those circumstances. Like, that's the truth.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We keep analyzing this because we don't have a new deal in place. And when you have a quarterback like Dak, we just expect the deal is going to get done. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quoting by all online at progressive.com. Now, what we like to do with QB Continued Series is get an expert to come on with us and help us sort of break it down and take it to the next level. So we're going to do that now. We're going to head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where ESPN Cowboys reporter Todd Archer joins the show. Todd, thanks for the time. You're in the thick of it. I mean, what's your reaction at this point to the fact that Dak is a franchised quarterback at this point for a one-year deal? What's your reaction to the contract situation?
I guess I'm still just waiting for this thing to finally magically come together, and it's been surprising that they're at this point, but they're here. And you know, you can pin the blame on the Cowboys, say they should have acted sooner, and you can pin the blame on Dak's side to say what the Cowboys have offered is a fair deal, and that's why these guys still haven't kind of come together, because they're both stuck on either side of this issue. But I do think eventually they'll figure this thing out, and I always go back to it, what Jerry told us during the Zeke holdout. When have I not gotten a deal done? this is taking 10 months longer than he probably thought it would. But, you know, you're talking about an offer now that is at least a little bit behind Ben Roethlisberger as the number two paid quarterback in the game. Russell Wilson's number one at $35 million a year. They're in the same ballpark, and now it's just a matter of finally just getting on home plate, I guess, to extend the analogy a little bit further.
We're talking to ESPN Cowboys reporter Todd Archer. I've heard Stephen A. say several times that if this was a Tony Romo, a prior quarterback, Stephen and Jerry find a way to get it done. What's your reaction to that analysis?
I mean, it's Tony Romo and Troy Aikman and Jerry Jones. These guys had tighter bonds with Jerry than what Dak has had with Jerry over the years. That's through no fault of anybody's. It's just the way, you know, Tony was around an awful lot longer, and Troy was around. Troy was his first draft pick in 1989. So, you know, these things just kind of take their time to develop over the years. But until Dak actually comes and says, not what his agent says, but until Dak says, I want this and I want this as the numbers in my contract, this thing might just take a little bit longer. The Cowboys have always done, I don't say always, at least since I've been covering this team, when the player said, this is what I want, the deals get done. Zach Martin got on the phone, $14 million and $40 million guaranteed for him. DeMarcus Lawrence got on the phone with Stephen Jones, $21 million and $65 guaranteed. They got these deals done. And I think that's what's going to have to happen here for these guys to eventually come to an agreement. But I don't think there's anything of Jerry liked Tony better, so he gave him this deal. Because honestly, Romo could have held out longer than he did before his last contract because the Cowboys couldn't put the franchise tag on him. He could have waited and waited and waited, but he did a deal that got him $55 million guaranteed in 2013 that was good enough for him and allowed the Cowboys to go get some other guys.
We're talking to ESPN Cowboys reporter Todd Archer. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. The word I keep hearing is disrespect, that it's disrespectful to Dak, or conversely, the Dak's being disrespectful to the Cowboys. We say that a lot. Is there any sense from your eyes of either side feeling disrespected in this?
No, I don't think that's the right word. I'm sure frustrated is probably a better word, because what's the disrespect when we don't, no one ever know, we don't know what Dak, at Dak's side, let me say it that way, what they are asking for. They've kept that quiet. But we know that the Cowboys have at least offered 33 and change per year and 105 or so million guaranteed. That's disrespectful? Like, I don't know where that – so I would not use that term to describe what's been going on with Dak here. But I think both sides can would freely admit, and Stephen Jones has, that they're frustrated that they've not gotten this thing done yet.
So when the deadline hits us and we're finally at the spot where he can no longer be negotiating, do you think by that point there's a long-term deal done this year?
I think they're going through this early bit of free agency, and I think their goal is to get something done, to start a deep dive on this and kind of sit down and just look at each other and say, let's go, let's do this. Because they've not had really many talks at all since last September about a contract. And you can argue the merits of why they chose to go that route on both sides of things. But I think you could see these guys kind of sit down and say, let's just do it. Let's hammer this thing out. We've got our key free agents on both sides, either the teams or the agents, guys that are up. We don't know when the draft's going to happen. Let's just sit down and do this thing. And then, you know, cooler heads will kind of come to an agreement because both sides want the same thing. Dak doesn't want to leave the Cowboys. The Cowboys don't want to leave Dak. If you go this franchise tag route and it gets adversarial, then you're looking at a situation where all bets are off and you could be looking for a quarterback in 2 years.
But you don't think it's adversarial right now?
No, I don't. Because adversarial, no. It's frustrating, yes. But they're not at the point where they're like ready to just ignore each other because they're still they both sides have said the same things. They want to get a deal done, but it's not adversarial.
Todd, I really appreciate your expertise on this. Thanks for taking the time to hang out with us, my friend.
You got it. Thanks, Jason.
Todd Archer breaking it down from somebody that's right in the thick of it. And just a reminder, I think the whole thing's going to get done. I mean, we can keep all day long arguing about what's being perceived right now, but the real of it is this. It's a one-year franchise deal, which is just simply a place marker. It's a place marker. If they make it until the deadline in the middle of July where they can no longer negotiate, then yes, I'll start to be concerned from the first time. But we just have to look at recent history. We were just sitting here a year ago saying that the relationship was never going to be the same between Jerry Jones and Zeke because the contract was such a difficult one to get done. And then what do you know? It got done and we haven't heard anything about it since. This is going to be the same exact situation to me. All right. We'll keep getting your take where Cam's headed and why a bunch of you guys want to chime in. We're going to let that happen. Plus, Bleacher Report held a bracket to decide the greatest player in sports on the planet. First Take got heated about the results. You'll hear some of that next. But first, as always, we need to tell you about Straight Talk. It's time for Straight Talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? It's full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best network, same as big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. No contract, full court coverage, half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. You'll hear the Straight Talk on who First Take thinks the greatest player in sports on the planet is next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Trying to get you in on some headlines that you need to keep an eye on just so you're aware of everything that's going on. I know there's not a lot of ton of breaking sports news, but a couple of things to keep an eye on. Number one, the NFL is going to keep the draft in April, at least as of now. Remember that there was a general manager subcommittee that made a recommendation to Roger Goodell on Tuesday that the draft be moved back due to the coronavirus pandemic. We've all heard the fact that it's not going to happen in Vegas the normal way, but they're talking about the draft in as a whole. Well, general managers are concerned that in the current environment with off-season activities canceled and some facilities closed, there won't be enough time for physicals, psychological testing, I can say that, and verified information. However, the NFL has pushed back against that and said that they do not want to move the draft as it stands. Another interesting piece of sports news, this is actually from last night, but you need to know it. Clippers Steve Ballmer has reached a deal to buy the Forum for $400 million in cash. Now you're asking yourself, why do you care? Well, the Forum was a part of what was blocking the Clippers from being able to build the arena that they want to build in L.A. So by owning the Forum, the presumption is that it will be kept as a music venue, and now it clears the path for Ballmer to build the dream arena he's been wanting to build for the Clippers. So the days of seeing the Clippers and Lakers both play in the Staples Center look like they may actually officially be numbered. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. A lot of your take. I know you guys want to get on in on this, and we'll let you. Where's Cam going to go and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get there in just a second. Before we do that, Bleacher Report did a bracket. Look, we're all thirsty for brackets right now, so Bleacher Report gave us a good one. How do you know it's good? It's controversial. They gave us the best player in sports. LeBron won it. Max and Stephen A. did not agree. Check it out. They were on fire.
No, he's not the best basketball player in the world. At least he hasn't proven it recently, and that matters. He, as I said, in recent years, one of the many reasons that he has had the longevity he's had, no one, not even Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, has come close to performing on the level LeBron has over this length of time, like this deep into his career. It's ridiculous. It's astounding what he's doing. And yet, we're not talking about Lifetime Achievement Award or giving him credit for that. We're talking about where he is right now. He's done that partly because he knew to take his foot off the gas a little bit in the regular season so he could accelerate in the playoffs. He would not play defense in the regular season. Post his second season or third season in Miami, he realized, okay, I got to take it a little bit easier in the regular so he can really hit the accelerator in the playoffs, play lockdown defense if he needs to, everything. And that's the right way to play. He was smart to do that. This year he had to step up the defense. AD challenged him and he needed to lead by example. And that worked too. But he always had the playoffs to remind us, oh yeah, sorry, LeBron, I thought Steph was better than you. My bad. I thought KD was. My bad. I thought Harden was. Whoever thought that. LeBron still did. He didn't have the playoffs last year. And in his absence, where he took his foot off the pedal, so he wasn't the best player in the regular season, the freak was, in the playoffs, the title was vacant. You know, LeBron may be the lineal champ, but the title was vacant. And Kawhi grabbed that. Because he stepped up and proved himself with the chips on the line, the best in the world. And now you, at best, you can say LeBron has a claim, but he's competing claims. And I would say Kawhi, that's just in the NBA. Then you gotta compare, if you're not, no doubt, the best in your own sport, then you gotta compare it to other sports like, oh, I don't know, the NFL, the biggest entertainment juggernaut in the United States of America. who has a quarterback named Patrick Mahomes, who followed up his first time he touched the ball as a starter, regular basis, he won the MVP. The next time he won the Super Bowl MVP, the undisputed baddest man on the planet. No, you can't say LeBron is still the best athlete in the world when he's not, certainly not definitively, but I would argue not even the best player in his own sport right now.
Point number one, nobody brought up the word athlete. The question was best player. Number two, LeBron player. Is the best player in the world. Number three, 35 years of age, 17th year in the league, top two candidate for league MVP honors. Last year, which Max Kellerman clearly holds against him, Max Kellerman talks about him taking his foot off the gas. When LeBron James got hurt and missed 17 straight games, LeBron James was the top two candidate for league MVP last season. Then he got hurt. Mm-hmm. I recall Max Kellerman in the past talking about how injuries should not be held against people. Kawhi Leonard ascending the way that he did. Kawhi Leonard goes up against a young puppy in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons in the semifinals. It takes him seven games to take them out. And he traveled on that bounce, by the way, that bounced three or four times before it went in the rim and beat Philadelphia in game seven. He traveled, okay? And then he goes up against the Greek Freak and Nick Nurse, to his credit, combined with Kawhi Leonard. They pick the Greek Freak up at half court, and suddenly we find out that if you can prevent him from going downhill, you can turn him into a perimeter player, which he does, which he is not, and that's not his game, which is something that James Harden articulated a few weeks ago when the Greek Freak came at him wrong in the aftermath of the All-Star game. And James Harden said, if I'm just dunking on people, you know what, if y'all want to call that a skill, so be it. Not to say that that was totally true, because we know that the Greek Freak is skilled, but nevertheless, he's sorely lacking in terms of a perimeter game and a jump shot. Now, we get back to LeBron, top two candidate for league MVP again. 29th ranked offense when LeBron is off the floor this year. Number two offense when he's on the court. We can take into account what he brings to the table as an iconic global brand and all of that other stuff. Nobody's going to debate that. But what you look, when you look at what he's doing, at the level that he's doing it with, there is no debating this issue. Kawhi Leonard ain't on this brother's level in terms of the total package. Kawhi Leonard is an elite player. He's a two-time champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP. He's one of the top five basketball players in the world. Plays on both ends. That much is true. But he doesn't necessarily make dudes around him better. It's just that he's an assassin, and he can put the ball in a bucket, and he can stop you from doing so as well. The only person in the last decade that we looked at and said, you know what, this guy might be, he got a chance, he might be better than LeBron James, was Kevin Durant, who's been injured this year.
Best player in sports. I mean, the words matter here. Best player in sports. So it isn't, to Stephen A's point, best athlete. It isn't, you know, most talented. It's best player in sports. And if we're going to have a bracket about the best player in sports, we just see Patrick Mahomes do things that the NFL is not used to ever seeing. I mean, to me, if we're going to look at best player in sports, it's the guy that no matter how much you think you've got him stopped, you don't. And that's Patrick Mahomes. In the meantime, we're taking your thoughts on Cam. Where's Cam Newton going to go and why? That's our question to you for your take. We've heard some first take on it. You've heard a little of my take. Let's get some of your take in. Amos from California. Amos, my guy, California. Amos, love it when you call, man. What do you got? Where's Cam headed and why?
Thanks for taking my call, Mr. Fitz. I think Cam is going to the Redskins. Makes the most sense to me. I mean, he's got an old coach in Ron Rivera, and then him just giving time for Dwayne Haskins to develop, which I think we all saw he needed last year. And just I feel like they can bring in some explosive players in the draft and in free agency next year to build a playoff team.
Amos, I appreciate the call. Look, there's a couple of things, too, I'll add to your take. And by the way, you can call me Jason, you can call me Fitz, but never call me Mr. Fitz. My God, I'm not that old. Okay, I am. Amos, love it when you call, man. One thing, too, to add to that is, let's remember, it's Ron Rivera's likely last chance as a head coach, right? So we're going to know a lot about how he feels about Cam, because let's be real. Is he going to turn around and associate himself with Cam? Is Cam the guy he thinks can take him to where he has to go? Because coaches don't get third shots at being a head coach often. So, you know, that'll be a big statement, although I still think Dwayne Haskins is likely probably going to get the shot for the Redskins. Daryl in Panama City. Daryl, what do you got? Where do you think Cam's headed and why?
Thanks for taking my call, Jason. I do believe that a good landing spot for him would be Miami. And let me tell you why. They're probably still going to draft Tua, but if they did it that way, and I don't know if the cap space will work out, it would allow them not to rush Tua in, and I think Cam still got a little bit in the gas tank.
Well, and I don't mind that call, Daryl. I mean, that makes a little bit of sense. They can protect themselves in both ends, because there is some mindset to some people that Tua might need a redshirt year, essentially, in the NFL. He might need a year to make sure that he's back up to speed. If that's the case, you give Cam, who all indications are that Cam feels he's going to be able to come in and play. So you give Cam the opportunity to get that body of work right now while Tua gets acclimated to the NFL, and then all of a sudden you've sort of helped reclimate Cam while you've turned around and you've given Tua the extra time he needs. I don't mind that call. It makes a lot of sense. And let's remember that the Dolphins have been aggressive. $131 million spent the first day is significant. Caden from Oregon. Caden, what do you got? Where's Cam headed and why?
Yeah, I got Cam Newton going to New England. Just when you look at the quarterbacks on the market right now, I feel like Cam is the better option being an NFL MVP. And I think it would be a quick transition for the Patriots. And it would be a great benefit for Bill Belichick to have a mobile quarterback. And I feel like it would just be the perfect fit for a team with a quarterback that they just lost, who's one of the greats.
Yeah, Caden, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, too, although I think all of us are sighing at the thought. Like, this is the best part about Cam, wherever he goes, right? If Cam turns around and he signs with any other team, we're going to say, well, we don't know. We don't know how much Cam has left in the tank. We don't know what he's going to do. Is he healthy? All of these questions. If he signs with New England, we're all immediately going to say, yep, there we go. The Patriots always figure these things out. Like, there's a benefit of the doubt there that will suddenly come with it. We'll keep taking your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Where's Cam going to go and why? If you're not by a phone, you can tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll take some of your thoughts on where Cam's going to go and why. But coming up, one of Tom Brady's new favorite targets joined First Take. So we'll hear from him next. But first, you're in charge of hiring for your business. Indeed's customized solutions helps you quickly find the perfect new employee. Screener questions narrow the field based on your must-have job requirements, and adding Indeed's online skills test to your job posting helps you make your candidate shortlist in record time. Now your business can flourish with the help of just the right person. And right now, your first job at Indeed.com posting, you can use this Indeed.com/DJ and get a sponsored job upgrade for free. That's Indeed.com/DJ to get a sponsored job upgrade for free. Terms and conditions apply. Hear from one of Tom Brady's new best friends next. First Take, your take. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. Where's Cam going? Why? Chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on giving us some of your take. Don't forget, if you missed the first hour of today's show or the second hour, either one, go check them out. They're on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average with Capital One? You can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One and a member FDIC. Now, we know at this point what's in Chris Godwin's wallet. It's a little picture of Tom Brady, because he's excited to have one of the greatest players of all time become his quarterback. Godwin, obviously one of the biggest weapons for Tampa Bay. Now he gets the exciting moment of knowing that Tom Brady will be his quarterback. He joined First Take today, excited to play with Brady. He talked a little bit about Brady, the number 12 jersey, which is important, but also just the process in Tampa Bay.
Honestly, you know, we believe that he has a ton left in him. And I think that, you know, the fact that people are out here doubting him, I think that's just going to motivate him even more, which, you know, that's those good things for us. I think, like you said, when you look at the guys that we have on our team, you know, myself, Mike, OJ, you know, we got a whole bunch of younger guys like that are coming up that are ready to explode. I think when you add the experience of Tom Brady and the leadership ability, man, I think the sky's the limit for us. You know, I'm just ready to get going.
Chris, thanks for coming on, by the way. We've seen Brady dink and dunk a lot recently, and a lot of successful quarterbacks, especially Tom Brady, have done that. very different kind of quarterback than Jameis Winston, very different than Bruce Arians, you know, no risk it, no biscuit philosophy. What differences are you anticipating here between a quarterback who threw 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, and a much more conservative approach? How does that affect you as a receiver?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's going to affect this. Now, how exactly, you know, I think it remains to be seen. I think the great thing about having, you know, a guy like Tom is that he's the ultimate competitor. You know, all of these things that people are saying that he can't do, you know, I'm sure he's going to go out there and be ready to prove it. And it's our job as receivers, as his teammates, you know, to kind of go out there and to grow with him. You know, I think all the work still remains to be done. But we're excited about it. You know what I mean? I think all the weapons that we have, I don't see there being any reason why we can't have, you know, a more explosive season than we had last year.
Chris, talk to me about this. So Tom Brady clearly wears number 12. You've been wearing 12 since high school. How's that going to play out? Are you just going to hand it over to the six-time champ? Are you going to try to get something out of this?
I've gotten that question a ton so far. But, you know, for me, it just comes down to, you know, to a matter of respect. You know, I have a ton of respect for Tom and for what he's done. You know, I'm still establishing myself. And because of that, you know, I'm willing to defer that to Tom. You know, if he really wants it, he can have it, just out of respect for him. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, when it's my time and something like this comes up, that I get that same respect from the younger guy. You know what I mean? Things just kind of come full circle for you.
Chris, let me ask you this question. You guys were the number 3 ranked offense in the National Football League last year. You had the number 1 passing attack in the National Football League last year. So what was missing? So what was missing that all of a sudden is going to be made up for now? Just put it in perspective for us all.
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest, you know, we did too many things to, you know, to kill ourselves. We had way too many untimely penalties. We had way too many turnovers. And, you know, I know quarterbacks always get too much of the blame, you know, for all that, because a lot of those interceptions and turnovers, they weren't necessarily, you know, our quarterback's fault. You know, because of that, I think we learn from those mistakes. We have to look back and learn from them. And then grow moving forward.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. And look, Chris Godwin's going to be answering a lot of questions about Brady, because everybody's going to have all eyes on the Buccaneers. They're about to take it to a total different level as one of the franchises everybody pays attention to. All right, where's Cam going and why? When you call from Australia, you get in. That's the rule. Tony from Australia, is that real, Tony? Are you in Australia? And tell me where Cam's going and why.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm in Australia. Cam the Sham will only go to the Redskins because Ron Rivera will be the only person who could put up with his antics. I can't see him being humble enough to change his personality.
Wow, Tony, I mean, those are strong words. I'm not sure we ask most quarterbacks to change their personality. I mean, the fact is we love the brashness when they win and then we fault it when they lose. But, man, I'm never going to fault you for calling from Australia. That is a heck of a work right. I mean, that is good, solid work by you right there. Tony from Australia, we got to get his info so we can send him some First Take Your Take swag. We've got a list of names. Don't worry, when everything calms down and we actually can get our hands on everything in a safe way, we're going to send some swag out to some people, because you guys have been doing a great job of giving your take. You've talked me into the possibility of the Broncos. I was not sold on it, but that's how good you guys are. You've managed somehow to talk me into the possibility that he could head to the Broncos. But still, guys, to me, it's simple. He's headed to the Chargers. The Chargers need the brand recognition. They need the quarterback, and they can take their time in making the decision. The biggest thing is somebody going to sign him before or after the draft? So we'll keep all eyes on that.